Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." "Good morning, good people of grace. Did you know, according to the United Way, that in the last 10 years, Buncombe County's population has increased by 30,000 people? 40% of us have college degrees. We make, on average, $60,000 a year. 89% of us are of European descent. 89% of us have internet and computers in our homes. And we spend about $17,000 per capita on retail every year. Those are a few facts about our community. But do they tell us about our community's value and values? Given these statistics and considering our scripture today, I am left wondering, what exactly makes a place and the people that come from it of any consequence? Come and see. A few weeks ago, I spoke to you about beginning my ministry in West Asheville. I shared with you that our former Bishop Porter Taylor lovingly referred to West Asheville as Best Asheville. But what I didn't tell you then was that before that part of our city became known in that way, it had been said to be Worst Asheville, a place of high crime and low incomes. Worst Asheville because it was seen as a place of little valuable consequence. And yet, even before becoming known in that derogatory way, West Asheville was a place of energy and diversity. In the midst of West Asheville, communities of Black and brown-bodied people owned homes and ran businesses. The historic neighborhood of Burton Street was central to the life of West Asheville. The neighborhood was founded in 1911 by the civic leader E.W. Pearson. E.W. Pearson also organized Asheville's first African-American semi-pro baseball team, the Asheville Royal Giants, in 1916. He founded the area's first regional agricultural fair in 1913, and he organized North Carolina's first NAACP chapter in 1933. But something happened, and in time, the community's influence and integrity, all the good things coming from it, were hindered. Come and see. With the widening of Patton Avenue in the 1950s, the I-240 expansion in the 60s, the looming I-26 connector project, the Burton Street community was profoundly and literally divided by the world's desire for progress, by so-called development that turned a blind eye to the good coming out of this place and consequentially impacted our city and the people in it. This progress put a stop sign at the intersection of Burton Street and Haywood, a sign that stopped the flow of good things coming out of it. What makes community and the people that come out of it of any consequence to those that encounter it? Today, we encounter through the Gospel of John and through the letters of Paul relevant questions and insights into what gives our community, and the body of Christ and the followers of Jesus worth and value. In these readings, we gain clarity as to what makes our community and the people in it of consequence. And as typical of our gospel and our God, it is surprising. Because once again, our holy scripture offers us a great reversal of what the world around us often desires. Our scripture calls us to see progress as moving closer to God and into deeper relationship with our neighbor. Our scriptures point to the epiphany that progress and what makes our living of consequence is actually nothing more than our ability and willingness to glorify the Lord. In our gospel today, John tells a story of evangelism. Jesus has been baptized and so is now out in the world gathering disciples because even Jesus cannot do this work alone. And so Jesus goes to Galilee where he finds Philip. Philip, it says, is from Bethsaida, also the home of Peter and Andrew. Jesus says to Philip, "Follow me." Philip then finds Nathanael and proclaims to him, "We have found the one of which Moses spoke, Jesus of Nazareth." Nathanael, it seems, is close to offended by this truth and simply says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth, a town of no more than 500 people, with no trade and not much progress, a place of seemingly little consequence. Now, right next door to Nazareth was Sepphoris, a town of 30,000 people, a town of great culture, shopping, trade, production and consumption, a town of seemingly valuable consequence, a town of progress. Also a town where if one was so inclined, the industry of prostitution was prevalent. Don't look at me, Paul brought it up. Paul says in our epistle today, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything." The industry of prostitution was lawful. In Roman culture, even a sacred act for those who consumed it. Prostitution was often the work of slaves in the Roman world or a sentence for those who broke the law. It was, and I would say remains today, a way of subjugating bodies to that of material worth found in the domination of production and consumption. What makes a place and the people that come from it of consequence? Nathanael asks, "Does anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip says, "Come and see." Friends, God could have chosen to be made manifest, could have become incarnate through any body. But God chose to become one of us, born in a small town of no consequence, from a woman of no consequence, at least of no consequence to the Roman Empire, to the world of production and consumption. And here is the good news. God has chosen to be made manifest in a way that reverses our earthly definition of worth through divine encounter. God has forever changed how it is we know ourselves and our neighbors and our communities as having consequence. Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Yes, our very life and liberation has come at a great price. The life of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came out of a place of no consequence, but for whom, for us, has the greatest consequence of all, true life and eternal salvation from all that threatens to dominate us, salvation and liberation from enslavement of any kind. We have been liberated through the life of Jesus to become temples for just this consequence, to glorify God. So how do we know that we are glorifying God? While it may be easy enough to quantify our economic consequence, how do we, as the body of Christ, evaluate how well we are glorifying God? Let's look at a few more quantifiable statistics that may be an epiphany for some of us. In Buncombe County, 1 out of 4 children is food insecure. When one looks at the rates of poverty in Buncombe County, we see that those children who suffer from hunger graduate at the rate of 78%, while those who have access to food and health care graduate at the rate of 91%. The impact of poverty such as this is profound and lasting. A human who lives in poverty is 3 times more likely to live in poverty as an adult, 6 times more likely to be arrested, and may have a lower life expectancy of more than 9 years. In Asheville, there are 10 public housing communities with 3,100 residents. While only 6.3% of Asheville is Black, 71.8% of public housing residents are Black. This is not a consequence of ability or willingness to thrive. This is a consequence of poverty and exploitation. Indeed, what makes a community and the people that come out of it of any consequence? The question for us, Grace, is this. Do these quantifiable statistics tell us a story of how we are glorifying God? Or does it tell us a story of how certain people and communities have been reduced to having little consequence? What good can come out of Burton Street neighborhood? What good can come out of Piscaview apartments? What good can come out of Shiloh or Deaverview or West Asheville? Bigger homes, fancier restaurants, more development that benefit those who already have more? Is that, for us as Christians, progress? For us as Christians, progress will never be measured by an increase in development as long as those who exist in inconsequential places suffer for it. No, for us as Christians, we are told progress will be known by our willingness and ability to glorify God. What good can come out of Nazareth? Come and see. If you mapped out your weekly pre-COVID route through Asheville, how many times do you drive through any public housing communities? If we mapped out our weekly route through Asheville, are there places we avoid, people we may never see? Friends, our invitation here is clear. This is our call to evangelism. This is the work of following Jesus. If we are to find Jesus, we will have to go to those places where we have perhaps avoided and deemed as inconsequential, because God is there. Jesus is there, and the Holy Spirit is calling us to come and see how every body is meant. meant to be a temple, worthy of care, of great consequence, to the glory of God. So what if we changed one thing about our map, about our daily living and community? What if we began to invest in communities of color with our purchasing power? What if we were willing to learn about poverty from those who suffer it rather than just those that study it? Come and see. At 12 Baskets Cafe, where food was made available for anyone who needed it, free of charge and served with dignity. At this meal, where the rich ate with the poor and the CEO with the beggar, it was not unusual to see someone in tears. Many of these folks had hard lives. But one day, as I moved about the place offering a welcome and doing my regular check-in with guests, a man dressed in a suit sat crying at a table. The table made vacant after his lunch companions went back to their work of pleading for spare change on the streets. He sat alone with his face in his hands, sobbing. Curious, I put my hand on his back and asked if he would like company. As I sat down, he looked up and simply said, "I didn't know. I didn't know," he said, "that people could survive such suffering, could live such difficult lives and still be so kind, so funny, so much like me. I think," he said, "this meal was the closest to the kingdom of God I have ever been. I just didn't know." We sat in silence for a minute, and then I replied, "Well, now you do know, and now you'll never not know again." He left, and to be honest, I never saw him there again, and I don't even know his name. But what I do know is that something really good came out of that place, out of that meal, that day, all because that man was willing to come and see. That, my friends, is the true sign of progress. Progress is not about getting more. Progress is about being transformed. And progress begins with the willingness to come and see, to be transformed. Transformed by people and places of surprisingly great consequence, all in order to glorify God. Amen.